Recording, that's it. Okay. Okay, I'm recording now. So welcome. It's the Vote From Abroad basic training. So hopefully this training will give you all kinds of information that will help you vote from abroad and make sure that you're able to help others vote from abroad. There are lots of different ways that you can get involved, but knowing the basics, of course, is the first step. So I'm recording the session, check. I want to let everybody know that you can interrupt me at any time. We have a convention for Democrats abroad that we'll use here too, where we use ** hand up if you have a question. Hopefully you can see that in the chat box. So you just put that in the chat box and then we keep the queue like this, Elizabeth, Greg, whoever's, so we can sort of answer questions in the order that they are, in the order people raise their hands. And yeah, and if we get a bunch of questions, we may ask people to take a step back and let someone ask a question who hasn't asked a question yet. So one thing I wanted to say right here on the outset is that this is a training that's intended only for Americans. So if you are not a U.S. citizen, not only should you not be on this call, you're not going to want to be on this call. This is of no interest. So I'm assuming everyone here is an American, but if you're not, you can log off, no questions asked. Hey, I see a Darby Siebels just joined us. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi. My name is Darby Siebels. I live and work in Wuhan, China, though I'm currently waiting outside for my return. And I am in South Korea, so trying to figure out what voting will look like.
Wow, okay. Welcome. Yes, so glad to have you. Alexander, oh, we've got two Alexanders just joined. How funny. Alexander Lee is a guy I know who lives in Guangzhou. And Alexander Ikeda, is that right? Can you hear me? Alexander, you could go ahead and introduce yourself. That would be helpful. I was just saying we're trying to keep make sure everyone here is a U.S. citizen. Just wondering where you're from or where you are. He's in Vietnam. Thanks, Greg. Okay, so, oh, we've got another guy in Vietnam. Cool. And another Alexander. Awesome. A name I love. My daughter is Alexandra. Let's see. Okay, so yes, so we're recording the session. ** hand up. You can totally interrupt me. I will do my best to keep an eye on the chat, but if I'm not paying attention, feel free to turn your mic on and ask a question. Okay, so we've got people from Vietnam, and mostly people that are from China, but we've got a couple people from Vietnam, and Darby, me, were displaced from China. I'm actually calling you from Michigan, from my childhood home in Michigan. Okay, so time check. Oh, okay, we're doing okay. So I live in Beijing normally. I'm the Secretary for Democrats Abroad China. This is a Democrats Abroad volunteer operation, but it's by no means just for people that are necessarily Democrats Abroad members. This is open to all U.S. citizens. My background is working with labor unions. I've also worked for Planned Parenthood at the national level, doing different sort of trainings and data and fun stuff like that. But my background is in good old-fashioned voter mobilization through, you know, canvassing and phone calls and that kind of thing. But it's a brave new world here. So anyway, and also as we are overseas voters, obviously that's a whole new ball game. There's so much more. There are so many more steps to getting people to vote. So I have a million screens open. Let me move some of this stuff out of the way so I can see what's going on. Okay. So I want to start by giving you an overview of the process of what it looks like to vote from abroad. You may not have voted from abroad ever. You might have been frustrated by the process or completely mystified, or maybe you already have done it lots yourself. You don't understand why it's a big deal and why people are having problems. So all of those different scenarios can still gain something from this training. And understand that not everyone's going to have the same experience voting from abroad, but there will be some key things that should be the same. So, first of all, who's eligible to vote from abroad? Of course, you have to be a U.S. citizen living abroad. You have to be 18 years old by the day of the election, and you have to be eligible to register to vote in your state. So, and we'll talk a little bit more about which state to vote in. And there are some provisions for folks, for U.S. citizens who've never resided in the U.S. So that's usually where your parent last lived. But of course, if it gets complicated, you might need to check your exact circumstance with us individually. But generally, it's not a terribly high bar for eligibility. So here's the basic process. Phase one is requesting your ballot, and that's something that's the process we've been in since January 1st through the present. We're just trying to get people to go to the votefromabroad.org website and request their ballot. And requesting your ballot beginning January 2020 allows you to receive the ballots for all the elections for that calendar year. And absentee voters need to do this every single year. So we request your ballot. You receive your ballot. Everyone should receive your ballot. As an overseas voter, you're supposed to receive it 45 days before the election. And then you have to return your ballot. And that can also lead to a lot of confusion, because while you may have your ballot emailed to you, you may need to use postal mail to return that ballot. So, don't worry, we're gonna dig into all this, I promise you. But here's the easy place to start. And if people ask me, how do I vote from abroad? The shortest answer is go to votefromabroad.org. It's a very user-friendly interface, I believe, and can answer questions about voting from abroad as well as just step you through the process of requesting that ballot. So valuable. So when overseas voters, both military and civilian, want to request a ballot, they can use the one-page FPCA, which is the Federal Postcard Application, to do so. And this single page, which you see on the screen now, is all that Vote From Abroad helps you fill out. Okay, so when you're filling that out, that's what this is filling out for you. Like I said, by filling out this application, you can see it says voter registration and absentee ballot requests. And so it can simultaneously register you to vote if you're not already registered, as well as be that absentee ballot request. The other thing I wanted to mention here is that you have a special status if you fill this out as a UACAVA sounds really exotic, UACAVA voter, and that just stands for Uniformed and Overseas Citizens Absentee Voting Act. Our protections as overseas voters are relatively new. You can see the dates here, 86, 2002, 2010. This is something that we need to treasure and follow through on. So UACAVA voters, as a UACAVA voter, you have some special rights. You are guaranteed the right to vote in federal elections. That means for president, for US Senate, US representatives. And it also may allow you to vote in state and local elections. But this does vary a bit by state. We can talk a little bit about that a little bit later. It requires your local elections official to send you that ballot 45 days before the election. So that's a lot more time than they send normal absentee ballots. I'm registered as a UACAVA voter with my local elections official, and I have already received the ballot for the Michigan primary that's in August. My mom's also registered as an absentee voter, but as a domestic voter, and she has not yet received her ballot. That thing needs a new name. So confusing. I know. You, Patrick. All right. The Peanut Gallery. Patrick says that FPCA is dumb and UACAVA is dumb, which I agree, but that's what it's called. Okay. The other special protection that you receive as a UACAVA voter, as an overseas voter, by filling out that FPCA, it means that your ballot needs to be able to be sent to you by email or online. Again, my mom as a domestic absentee voter is going to receive a physical ballot in the mail, and she's going to mail that back as well. And she doesn't have the option of receiving that by email. But as an overseas voter, we do have that luxury. And overseas absentee ballots are counted. And it also enables you, if you fill out the FPCA, to have this backup ballot. I was just talking to Alexander Lee about this in a chat just now. But the FWAB, the FWAB, like that one, Patrick? FWAB is the Federal Write-In Absentee Ballot, FWAB. But it's really just a backup ballot. And you can, it's really just a backup ballot. And if you have any worries that your ballot is not gonna get to your local elections official in time, you can fill out this federal write-in absentee ballot and send it as soon as you know that you've already sent your FPCA. In some very extreme cases, I've seen people send an FPCA along with their FWAB to their local elections official right at the same time. But yes, if you fill out your FWAB and then you have the opportunity to receive your official ballot and you've tried to send that in, or you're in the process of sending that in, but it's like going on a slow boat and you want to just FedEx a FWAB, you could do that. So you have special protections as a UACAVA voter. That's a really important part of why you should fill out the FPCA. The program that helps support us as overseas voters is called the Voter Assistance Program. And they service both military and civilian overseas. It's got it's part of the Department of Defense, so it's got a military flavor to it. If you go to the website, you'll see that. but they do provide support for us. They have official forms, all the official forms like the FPCA. They have templates for the envelopes that you can send, that you can print out, that are US postage paid. They have a free email to fax service, and they have trainings for what they call voter assistance officers. And within the military, they have certain rules about making sure that there's a voter assistance officer available to those folks in the military. And those people are, have certain amount of knowledge and be available. So You are also invited to do their voter assistance training online. It's open to all, and it's kind of fun because it's a little time consuming. It's about 45 minutes, but if you're on this call, I can tell you're a dedicated kind of person. but at the end of that process, they can also give you a PDF to print out that says, you know, Kelsey is a voter assistance officer now. So it's cool. Can civilians go to the military base to ask about voting or send their ballot from there? I think military families do, but I'm not sure civilians have that ability. Kimberly. I mean, I can check. I don't know. You have a base near you? Kimberly, maybe, I guess. Yeah, I know. Okay, so, but maybe like, yeah, anyway. So the voter, the VAP, you like that, don't you like, don't you, Patrick, the FVAP, the VAP.gov, anyway, is the government agency that's supposed to be supporting overseas voters, both military and civilian. So, a very important person in all this process is your local elections official. They're the ones you go to ask if you're registered to vote, if they got your ballot request, if they sent you your ballot, if they received your ballot. And so this is who's going to be handling your actual ballot, right? So it's important that you reach out to that individual, especially if you don't have an easy way of accessing this information online. Some states, Michigan, for example, has an online system, and I can check status stuff there. But if the status doesn't look right, I have emailed my local elections official, and they've been very responsive, almost always responding pretty quickly. So your local elections official is the person who actually is part of your transaction in these processes of requesting and then receiving and returning your ballot. They're not just responsible for us, though. They're responsible for everybody. So they're not just worried about overseas voters. And we're sort of a fun thing, anomaly from the normal drudgery of their elections work, right? So they do all the regular elections work as well. With COVID-19 and people, with COVID-19 and everything going on, we do expect our local elections officials to be a bit more strained. And so they may not get back to you right away. So as with most of this stuff that I'm talking about, you want to do this earlier. Earlier the better, because sometimes a small thing like your signature not matching with what they have on file or something like that can have a big impact on whether or not your ballot's accepted or your application is accepted. And this, as Alexander points out, is another part of that silly alphabet soup of voting from abroad. These are often called the LEOs, local election official, but they're friendly people. They're doing the good work. So now we want to go to talking about how you request your ballot, because that is probably the biggest hurdle that we have in terms of people to even begin this process. So once people request their ballot, there is a lot we still have to do, but that it seems to be the biggest hurdle. So I want to go over that in some detail. So the important thing to know is, can you submit your ballot request online? There are so many states that let you do this, but there are some states that are still not allowing that. So when people go to voteframabroad.org, many, many people can go online and complete the whole process, and others are going to have to print it out and sign it and mail it. But for the vast majority of folks, you'll be able to complete it on the website, which is really good. What do I want to say about that? But the deadlines and the exact questions you have to ask, those do vary by state. And when you go to votefromabroad.org, votefromabroad.org, when you go to votefromabroad.org to complete your federal postcard application, it has a lot of customization in the process so that you make sure that you're providing the information that's specifically required for your state. So that's it's a responsive form that tailors your experience. So this is where you want to fill out your FPCA. And they've got 5 steps for doing so that they number on the screen. Step 1 of 5, you can see, is it looks simple enough, right? This is easy. Oh yeah, my name. Have I previously registered vote? Oh wait, I'm not sure. Anyway, so this, the two main things I want to tell everybody here is that you need to use alpha characters in your address, even if that means it's not going to be deliverable, right? In the US, if you wrote my address in English, it would never reach me. But this is for informational purposes, and it is required, even though it probably is a useless sort of thing. And in Chinese, it certainly is. So I guess that's probably the same for Vietnamese. If you've got any non-alpha characters, you can't use them. So the other thing for China that's kind of annoying is that they require postal codes. And I've looked in a lot of different options of trying to figure out Baidu maps, blah, blah, blah. And this website, ip138.com/post, seems to be one of the easier places to navigate and find your postal code. That said, you can approximate if you are uncertain, because this postal code probably won't come into play. But please don't. I had a few people filling out stuff in Hanzi, and I just know that their application's not gonna get accepted. So one of the first questions I always ask folks when I ask them is, oh, what state do you vote in? And then they're like, then either that's an easy question or it's a hard thing to answer. And the short guidance on this is your voting address is the last place you live. And yeah, but it's, I don't even know who lives there anymore. All these things. There are a lot of objections people have to using a voting address that seems maybe really old or all the other things, but it doesn't matter if you have any relationship to that address at the moment. It doesn't matter who owns the property. It doesn't matter if it's not residence anymore. Maybe it turned into, a parking lot. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you were registered to vote there before, and it doesn't matter if you intend to go back to the state after you return from China or wherever. And it doesn't matter how long ago it was that you lived there. It's the last place that you live. So this is in the frequently asked questions on votefromabroad.org. It's number 13, but it really is the question that I always end up spending a lot of time with folks on. So there's still a bunch more questions people might ask. And of course, there are some personal situations that are complicated and may make this voting address issue more complicated. And of course, you can reach out to us and I'll show you how to do that. Faith Gary has her hand up. Please go ahead.
Hey, I just went to that website that you just recommended, IP138.
Yeah.
And it's all in Chinese, and I have no idea how you would use that to find a zip code. Is that how it's supposed to be, or is there an English version of that site?
All right. Well, maybe it's not the best thing. I mean, you can put into Google, you can just put into Google like Shanghai postal code and see what comes up. And if you need, if you're having trouble navigating the Chinese on that, that's what I would recommend doing. But for me, I can recognize the word Beijing, certainly. I can recognize the word, like Xicheng, which is the Western district where I live, and I can find it on there, more or less. But you scroll down to the bottom of that page, and then you see a map, and you can sort of, you can click through on the map, and then see the different districts, or the lower levels of the geography. But yeah, it's in Chinese.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to give a resource that'd be hard to use. But okay. So voting info. So like I said, once people know their voting address is their U.S. address, right? This is where it's going to determine who your local elections official is, right? And when you're filling out this form. When you're filling out this form, you will indicate your voting jurisdiction, and it can cause a lot of problems, but I say see next slide, but it's actually the previous slide now. But anyway, so this dropdown sometimes does cause some problems with slower internet connections. I've had people just unable to make the dropdown work. If that's the case, I don't know if that's been something that's already been figured out, but you should, you know, try again, maybe with a different browser or whatever. If you're having any problem with the form, sometimes a different browser will make it work. A couple questions on this part of step two that have some consequence. They ask you, are you abroad temporarily or indefinitely? And do I have that on my next screen? No. Okay, so if you're abroad temporarily, you can say as much what I mean to say is if you intend to return, you don't have to have like a ticket in hand. It doesn't have to be so concrete your intention. Okay. So that is very loose interpretation. You can choose either one. The consequence of choosing one of those is one consequence is you may not be eligible to vote in local and state elections if you say that you are abroad indefinitely and my return is uncertain. So if you're really dedicated to state and local elections, which I would suppose most people here are, you would want to try and do the you want to choose that you intend to return. The other impact of choosing that you're going to return is that you may become liable for state taxes. So that's not something that I can help navigate. Like I don't know state by state what the situation is. So but that is something that voters have to fill out on their own and should know those two consequences. I believe it's in the pop-up there if you hit the little info thing next to the question. Kim, did you want to ask your question?
Yeah, sure. About the taxation, is that something that people can contact our Democrats Abroad taxation team for?
I don't believe so. The taxation team is not about tax advice. We're talking about the Democrats Abroad taxation team, and they are focused on changing policy to make a policy that is residence-based taxation, right? So that you're not paying taxes in the states and abroad. But they're not telling you how to fill out your your tax returns and stuff. As far as I know, but I can check. And Kimberly says she's an accountant to recommend if people need more information. So, but for those of us without a lot of income, it's probably not so important. Okay. The other very consequential thing that you will fill out in step two is that you will indicate that you want to receive your ballot by email or online. It's virtually impossible to receive your ballot by mail or, well, maybe by fax, but I don't know why you would want to do that, but it's virtually impossible to receive it by mail with the information you provided with the Chinese address. Probably the same with most Asian countries. So that's an explicit recommend. Step three is identification. A lot of this stuff is pretty easy. One thing to note is that some states do require you to indicate male or female, even though our form has the ability to decline to state your sex. But it is required that the state contact you again if that information is missing and they require it. So just know that you might have another back and forth if you don't provide that information. And Idaho and South Carolina are two of those states. And the only ID that you're probably going to have to give is the last four digits of your social security number or maybe your driver's license. For Michigan, this is how it appears. And you can always select I don't have the above information as well. Step four is to review the information that you've put in those forms on the actual form itself so you can see how it looks. And sometimes that reveals some weirdness and you'll have to go back and correct it. Step five, sign and submit. This is where you've got some fancy stuff going on this website. A lot of states are accepting electronic signatures, although I've been told this is not an electronic signature, this is a captured signature, I don't know exactly why that's different. I guess electronic signature is not using a pen or anything, but just typing your name. This requires a captured signature of some kind. So there's this handy, awesome thing where you can either use a camera to capture your signature on a piece of paper, or you can upload a file. So, and you can see there's some additional verbiage there in order to make sure that this signature is valid. So yes, hand up electronic signatures verified and embedded in your application. Greg, did you want to say something more about that? I don't quite understand.
Yeah, sure. So the difference is really, I've gone through this recently. You can just hold up a piece of paper where you've scribbled your signature and it captures the shot. So you've written it by hand, there it is. But when you have an electronic signature, that is a higher level of security. So that has been verified through an external source first. There's some time, they get back to you, and then it's embedded in whatever software you're using, like if it's Microsoft Word or what have you. And then it's more officious, but this was super easy. Literally all I did was write my name on a piece of paper, hold it up to my laptop's camera, it captured the shot, and I was done.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you for clarifying that. I didn't know. Okay. Yeah, so we have had some states say that this is not cool, but I think it's really awesome, and Michigan accepted my application this way. So you can see on the far left, you can see my signature written, and it's kind of like dark and stuff. But once it's uploaded, it does a great job of just eliminating the background and gives you some options for centering it on that line. And then the final step for me was to email it on to my local elections official. And you can see I can alter the message that I sent out. But once I hit send, that is it. Signed, sealed, delivered. So sign and submit for some states might be a little bit more involved. So this is where I'm gonna I need to see some more of this. Okay, so yes, California. Oh, so sorry, California, but California Secretary of State contacted us, and they really didn't. They don't want to accept that that captured signature. They have and California voters will get this instruction. Everybody will get customized instructions about how to sign and submit. They're not going to lead you astray with this. But so if you're a California voter, it's not going to give you the ability to do that capture signature. Instead, it's going to say, oh, great, now you have to print it out, sign it, then scan it and email it to your local elections official, Leo. We have somebody saying something. So damn you, California. Okay. So the good news is some of the stuff is changing, and we've been getting some updates. So staying in the loop with Vote From Abroad, and I'll give you some more stuff to make sure you're still connected. Some of these rules are changing because they're trying to make things easier for all of us to vote in the age of COVID-19. But anyway, so blah, 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 let's see. If you do have to fax, there's an email to fax service, which we've got more details of later. So you send an email, and then the federal voter assistance program will fax that onto your local elections official for you. So you don't have to fax; you just email it, and then they fax it. But the most important thing that's not on the steps very clearly online, with all like flashing lights and everything, is verifying the receipt of your application. Like I said, local elections officials are receiving these, receiving your application, and some have a process where they instantly tell you, okay, we received it, it's still under review. Okay, we received it, it's, you know, everything looks fine, you're set to get your ballots. But some people just send it off and it's like a black hole, and then they wait until they're supposed to have received their ballot, they don't get their ballot, and then they have to scramble to do the federal write-in absentee ballot and all that other stuff. So so it's a good idea to, you know, yeah, wait a beat, but then verify with your local elections official that they have the FPCA and that you're living in China and you want to vote. You know, this, like I said, your overseas voter is kind of exciting, unless you're in New York, and then they probably don't care. But like, yeah. Alexander Lee has had extensive conversations with his local elections official in Vermont, not to mention other folks. But, you know, like, these are just people on the other end. They'll probably just write you right back. Or if you call them during office hours, they're gonna be able to talk to you and tell you what's going on. There are cases where, you know, they have changed the rule or something, and they're going to ask for additional information, or you might have to resubmit the whole thing. For those folks I noticed that submitted with their Chinese address in Chinese and Hanzi, I wrote to them individually and was like, you got to do the verified local elections official, because I don't think this will work. You're going to have to resubmit it. Anyway, verify. Hello. Yes. So, and you can follow up with your Leo. And you can find that information again by going to votefromabroad.org and /states. And then you can scroll through it and find your jurisdiction and all that. And emailing or calling your Leo is perfectly easy, and people are very responsive. If you have problems throughout all this stuff, you have something like you confirmed it online, but then your Leo doesn't send you your ballot and blah, 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 blah. Some of that stuff is not just you, right? That seems like there's a systematic problem. We really want to alert our voter protection team about those things. So if you hear of anything like that, we want to send an email describing the situation to help at votefromabroad.org. Because our voter protection team they are dedicated to working with the USPS, the US Postal System, as well as all, you know, state and the secretaries of state and local elections officials to smooth out any wrinkles or any problems that voters are having. So definitely think that way too, because if you're having problems, chances are someone else is too. Here's that free fax service I'm talking about. You can see it's a FVAP, Federal Voting Assistance Program. It's a government program, right? And so they will send this on to you. You have to use their cover sheet. So I've got a link there to the PDF cover sheet. So you email them with the, attach the cover sheet completed and your voting material. In this case, you could do either your FPCA, your ballot request, or later on, if you have to return your ballot by fax, you could also do that. So it's important to realize that they are sometimes slow, and they definitely don't guarantee that they will fax it immediately, same day or next day or anything like that. And they do not guarantee that it will get there by the deadline, whatever your deadline is. Because remember, every state's got different deadlines. They're not going to look that up for you. So use with caution. And of course, there are other email to fax services that you could use, and you can make sure that they are sent on immediately and get receipt. But in either case, whether you're using this service or another, it's important to verify the receipt with your local elections official. So, because if you're looking at a deadline and you're like, oh, but I sent it in on election day or whatever, it just had to be there by election day. Well, maybe you emailed it to fax at fvap.gov, but they didn't send it on to your local elections official, and that's what counts, the receipt on that end. Postal mail. Oh, I know a lot of people have a lot to say about this. In China, I have successfully used China Post with very reasonable rates, like something like 20 kuai, 15 kuai, and it's arrived in 11 working days or something like that. Perfectly reasonable. There are express mail options that are really expensive and crazy. China Post has an express mail too, but DHL and all these, you can spend like $100 US sending something next day, FedEx, all that stuff. The free option is the diplomatic pouch, and that is a US mail service that is through the US consulate or US embassy. So you can, you have to make sure there's US postage on it. And put it in an envelope. It's just like you're putting it into a mailbox. Once they give it to you, it's like gone. And you can request a tracking number, and you can use these awesome postage page templates, postage page paid templates for printing out those envelopes to avoid not having, obviously probably don't have a stamp on you. And it's free, awesome, right? But there's no guarantee on mailing time. In fact, we've heard from some consulates and embassies around the world that it'll take about 6 weeks, which won't work for us if there's any delay at all between, or deadline that's not gonna be met with 45 days and 6 weeks, that's the same thing, right? So it doesn't give us enough time to return. So I know that there's a couple of the things that have come up with this is that some states require multiple envelopes, and so you may find that that's difficult. I think Alexander can tell us about that. But also, you can, if you're not going to be able to print right on an envelope, you can still print out the template. You have to make sure it's printing at exact size and then tape that to an envelope, and that's perfectly fine. That's absolutely worked for me and for others. So and we've had some issue of like, yeah, but the PDF, you know, expands, and so now I have this huge thing and I can't tape it to a right size envelope. But I see some chatting happening. Is it Alexander? No. It is Kimberly. Kimberly, please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, especially with the 6 weeks for the diplomatic pouch, I would recommend everyone to go to the your consulate's American Citizen Services website. It's likely that they actually have that text on there that it takes 6 weeks. So that's just a thing to double check. And then secondly, I did just attach a photo of actual printed envelopes that I have in my house in China. So if anyone needs that, I can party it to you.
Excellent. Very helpful. Alexander Lee, did you want to share anything more about this?
About the envelopes?
I guess. I just know you've been talking a lot about mailing and envelopes.
Well, yeah, I mailed mine with what printed out in my printer because I have access to a printer at work and I don't have number 10 envelopes and I'm not going to drop 500 RMB to buy a box. And I could have reprinted it per your suggestion and found a new envelope that was smaller than a number 10 envelope here in China. But I couldn't be arsed, so I took my ballot to the consulate and learned that they don't want to act as a post office, which of course I understand. But as a result, they are going to put boxes out now where people can drop off the FPCA and don't have to go in, because one of the things you need to worry about is getting turned away. But you won't get turned away for having the wrong size envelope. That's your responsibility. And it won't print out the right size, as Elizabeth already mentioned, unless you fiddle with the printer settings.
Yeah. So, but the short recommendation on this, especially for November, is that if we're receiving our ballots about 6 weeks before the election, it doesn't seem viable to use the diplomatic pouch to return that ballot and make sure that it's there in time. Every state has a different deadline. Some it's like it's got to be received by, you know, the end of the day of the election day, or sometimes it's a few days after. So so it's possible, depending on the deadlines for your state, that would be possible. But even 6 weeks is not guaranteed. So using regular mail and doing it early is what I recommend. There may be other options. I know we've got some folks that were sort of thinking through different options for voters in China, looking at the pricing and requirements needed for express mail, to share that information with people. So we'll stay in touch. And if we have real specific recommendations, then we'll definitely be sharing those around. But there, right now there's nothing that's like perfect. Nothing is perfect. Okay, so here we are at receive my ballot. So everybody can receive your ballot online or by email. And you should be receiving your November 3rd ballot by September 19th. So you can ask folks, if you're helping people do through this process, to mark their calendar for September 19th. And please check your spam folder. I know that, you know, Google has like multiple inboxes for folks, like it'll put it into updates or something like this. So please mark your calendar and check. I actually overlooked the last time the last ballot that I received for this, the August primary here in Michigan. And it was only after somebody else was like, oh, what are you going to vote on the such and such in Michigan? And I said, wow, you have your ballot already? And then I realized it was definitely 45 days before August 3rd. So I checked my inbox and I found it. But if you don't receive your ballot in time, right, you have to take some action of contacting your local elections official, to see if there's, if you were intended to receive a ballot, if they need more information from you, and if you want to do a backup ballot. Return your ballot. Like I said, with the FPCA, it's the same with returning your ballot. Some states have different rules on this, and a lot more states require a postal mail return for return ballots, Michigan being one of them, so I'm familiar with that. That's why I've used China Post in the back in the past. But this is the real rule that may be changing most frequently. We just had an update that West Virginia, for example, is going to allow email returns, ballots to be returned by email, which is a big deal. Yes, Alexander.
In the Guangzhou group, somebody just indicated that the FWAB can only be used for federal elections, which means that my state ballot, which was what I was bringing to the consulate, I can't use the FWAB for.
In the past, I've had people also complete it somehow with the state stuff too, but you're right. That is the federal right in absentee ballot and actually is only helpful for voting. And, you know, it's only protected for your federal elections. It's possible you send it in and they would accept it, but there's nothing compelling them to do so.
Gotcha.
So yeah, speaking of which, the federal write-in absentee ballot, here it is. You have to have submitted an FPCA to be considered a UOCAVA voter. If you go through your state absentee process, the state absentee ballot request, and don't indicate you're an overseas voter, you're not able to use this form. But you should use this form if for whatever reason, you've not received your ballot or you have any worries that your ballot is not going to get to your local elections official in time. So if you do receive your official ballot and you can send that on as well, if there's some kind of delay or you're sending them both ways, you need to send in that ballot too because they want to count the official ballot if possible. And yes, it's the same state rules for submitting your federal write-in absentee ballot as sending in your official ballot. So if your state requires you to use postal mail to return your ballot, you have to do the same with the federal write-in absentee ballot. So. All right, so here's the fun part. So there's gonna be questions. If you're helping people, people always have special situations. We've got a WeChat account set up, Vote From Abroad, for those folks in China. And then there's also this email for that's available to everyone to ask questions about any voting issues at all. And like I said, you can also use this for voter protection issues if you think that there's something fishy going on or just something that's breaking down in the system. Beyond that, you can join the Great American Turnout 2020. Okay, you can become a voting champion. And this is an effort by voteframabroad.org, and they have put together a fabulous kit, and will be integrating all this good stuff with their social media accounts. So by following them on Facebook and Instagram and elsewhere, on WeChat, you're going to see information that then you can pass on to your networks. And they're really, they have, you know, you can reach out to your friends using these tools. You can, these step-by-step guides, they go step-by-step through like doing your signature online, that capture signature. So they have a lot of good resources right there. And you can use the Bit.ly link to make it there. Let's see, I intended to have that available in the chat box. Let's see. I'm gonna put this in the chat, theoretically. And I saw there was a chat Oh, Alexander, do you have your hand up? No, Greg, you have your hand up. Sorry. You can wait. Okay. These are two Bitly links. The Voting Champion is the Voting Champion Toolkit. And the second Bitly link points you to the Democrats Abroad Wiki, where this presentation is available. So, and see that awesome Facebook frame that you can do? It's amazing. So, do it. The other place where we can have a really big impact, if you can spend the time, is doing events around your neck of the woods. So you have to be a U.S. citizen, obviously, to do this. And it's mostly been organized by Democrats Abroad members, but you don't have to be a member to participate in these. And the events themselves are nonpartisan. We help anyone of any party who wants to register to vote and request their ballot. So if you're interested in helping at one of these events, like, it basically looks like you sitting at a table in a bar where there's a lot of stuff happening and people will come over and talk to you because you look really cool and you've got all these signs about voting and you've got a printer and you'll help people step through the process if they haven't done it already, or maybe answer some of their questions. So there's a contact there for the WeChat group, and we have a WeChat account is votefromabroad.org, or sorry, Vote From Abroad, and that's the WeChat ID. And then we have a group set aside for everybody that's pledged to do some volunteering on this stuff. You can volunteer with Democrats Abroad. This is only for Democrats Abroad members, and this is talking to Democrats Abroad members about their ballots. So you've got customized scripts for giving people information about what they need to do and what deadlines they need to meet. And these are fun calls. If you're doing the calls, you also have the ability to text them. And it uses a software called Call Hub. So if you are interested in seeing how this works, we've got, again, you can contact Democrats Abroad on WeChat. You can email us if you want to do it that way. There's also democratsabroad.org, DOTV phone banking. That's where you can go to learn more about this and sign up. So so this is a really impactful thing we can do. Almost everyone who signed up to be a Democrat Abroad is very excited to receive a phone call from us if they actually pick up the phone. Other ways you can volunteer. You can volunteer with the global GOTV team. This is answering all those questions that come in on help@votefromabroad.org. They have a ticket system. It's all very slick. Templates for common issues, so you don't have to have all the answers off the top of your head. And it does help us identify voter protection issues, so which is the other team that you can vote on. Helping to protect the vote helping to protect the USPS, because the postal system has been under attack. But likewise, just doing general stuff like expanding our ability to do stuff online, and also advocating for folks here back home that can do things in a safe way during COVID. So Maya's heading that up, and that's her email. You can get involved there. Okay. All right. Now I'm completely done. Greg, did you want to ask me a question? I can't hear
yes,
you.
Yes, I did. Hold on. Sorry. I needed to get. Thanks for that wonderful presentation. You covered all the basics so well, and it was really helpful. I learned a couple things. Thank you for the glossary as well. DA China. Awesome.
That's very Alexander useful. Lee. Thank you.
Alexander Lee. Golf clap for you. That was great. So I'm actually the point person in Asia Pacific for another voter effort. And so here's yet another opportunity to volunteer. I'm going to hijack the meeting for that.
Go for it. Yeah.
So I'll talk about it more in the AP meeting today, if anybody's going to be there. But for now, so the idea is that in a couple of weeks from now, we will start doing a 24-hour voter assistance via Zoom. All of you are on Zoom, so I know you can do it. And any of the trainings that you attend will be useful, and we can get you on these calls. Here's the idea. So EMEA, so the European, Africa, Middle East, all of them, they will have an 8-hour window that they're covering. The Americas will have an 8-hour window, and we here in Asia Pacific will have an 8-hour window. That is not absolute. So if you're one of these people that's up all night and sleeps all day, you can jump in and be helpful at any of the other times, and they're happy to have you in the other regions. Because filling in some of the times is often tough. It's when people are at work or they're sleeping or what have you. So I'm really asking all of the chairs, and especially all the super volunteers on this call to spread the word. I'm going to be sending out an all DA global blast soon, inviting volunteers to join for this. We will provide some additional training, and you can get certified. You can also go through the voting champion and all these other options that were there. Super. I'm going to do it. I want my photo on that certificate more than anything. So yeah, that's it. So what we're going to do is, ideally, we've got 3 or 4 people on at any given hour. It would be great if you could do a 2-hour shift, but we accept 4-hour shifts as well if you're not into 2 hours. And so what you'll do is, someone will call in, we'll have a Zoom moderator, you know, maybe it's me right now, and we've got a handful of volunteers. Someone calls into the Zoom and they have a question. We assign them a helper. We put them in a separate room. They get a break-off room on Zoom. I didn't know we could do that. We can. It's cool. So they go into the side room. They answer all the questions. If there's additional questions, you can always come back to the main room and give it to the pool, and we can see if anybody has a great answer for your question. You do not need to be an expert to do this. We do hope for higher levels of knowledge, but any amount of buy-in for the time and the expertise can be useful for a lot of these basic questions that people might have. The cool thing is, people could be calling from anywhere. Don't forget that a lot of our members do not have country committees, so they don't have people to go to. China is a very well-established group. I can see you have so much going on, but not everyone has that. Vietnam is new. We're just building our scene. Mongolia, nothing, right? So we could really be a big help. A bigger, larger goal is to reach Americans who are not members of DA, and hopefully this information will be spread and you'll really be helping to turn out the vote. Last point, we just had an event in Vietnam where we were doing voter assistance and a fundraiser for Black Lives Matter, and the police came, 30 armed, uniformed communist police, party police. The Politburo was there. Oh. And they broke up the party, our 4th of July event. And what the only reason I mentioned this is not the woe is me tale, look at us, how weird things are. Just remember where you are whenever you're doing voter assistance programs. And I highly recommend these online options, like being the person who answers the at help, you know, the help desk for a vote from abroad, or doing the Zoom help. For places like China and Vietnam, if you're worried about where you are in your little town and you don't have a good grasp of what the rules are, this is an awesome way to turn out the vote from the comfort of your bedroom. It's also COVID-19 safe, so you can say that. And I said there was a last point, but I lied, there's one more. Your friends in the United States who are citizens, who are not citizens living abroad, can help too. So grab your high school buddies and your college buddies and your old work chums. And if they're sitting around and they really want to be canvassing and knocking on doors, but they're living in a state where the virus is really, you know, out of control and there's not a lot of movement, things are locked down, they can help join us too. We need help on the West Coast, especially of the US, because the Americas are having trouble filling in some of those time slots. Asia Pacific has the largest geographical area, so we need people from everywhere. So, okay, that's everything. Happy to answer questions about that, but I'm going to turn it back. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Greg.
Yeah, Elizabeth, thank you.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love it. I love it that it's COVID safe too. Let's see. If there are other questions, I'm happy to take them. I can put in the chat those bit.ly links again. Those are two places where you're going to find some great information. The Voting Champion initiative by VFA, and then a link to this So this presentation, if you want to just bookmark that or pass it along to someone you know. Well, that is where I'm going to leave it. Any more questions going once? Well, great. Thank you all for spending your Saturday morning a little with me. Do you need to take, Greg, do you need to add an uptake form for your thingo? Do you have a link for us? There it is. Excellent. And I'll include that on the BFA training materials link too. Awesome. Okay. Yes, thanks, Greg.
Question. Sorry.
Yeah, who's that? Who's there?
It's Kelsey.
Hi, Kelsey.
Hi. What is like the final deadline date for people to be able to vote in the November election? Is it that they have to be registered and have submitted by the September 19th, or does that go longer? Does it vary by state? What's the kind of last timing to make this work?
It varies by state. Isn't that terrible? Okay. So yeah, the timeline we have here where, you know, beginning in January, you request your ballot and then you should receive your ballot by September 19th. There is still time in most cases to be requesting your ballot between September and the November election. And there are some states, I think Colorado, for example, maybe Oregon's got their act together, where you can do the whole kit and caboodle in one day, and you can do it all online. So it's possible there's the thing is, depending on people's situation, it's so varied. We just want to give people the information to do it early so that if there's any problem at all, if it's like, oh my God, I'm not supposed to be voting in Colorado, I have to vote in Texas. Oh dear. Well, those are a whole different set of deadlines, right? So yeah. So I mean, like, the short answer is that, it depends. If you go to the state vote from abroad here, from abroad.org states, that will give you the deadline for different states. So you can look up the state and then, and it gives you like all the upcoming elections and then all the relevant deadlines for that state. So that's where I usually go first. Especially if we're after September 19th and we're getting close to the election. If I go to that, if I look up someone's state there, then I can get all that good information. So like vote from abroad.org states, Michigan, it uses the state abbreviations like that. So you can just type it in and find that information.
Wonderful. And is there a way that I can request some kind of volunteer event at a place where I work? Mobilize that kind of thing?
Yeah, you should. Yes, you should talk to, well, Kimberly would definitely like to talk to you. Kimberly is the chair for Democrats of Abroad China, and has been doing a lot of events. We've got a lot of people on this call, actually, that I know volunteered during the July 4th. Different July 4th events. So we've got some people that are pretty experienced putting together events or piggybacking on existing events or doing this sort of thing. We were doing international schools in Beijing. Like we were allowed in the break room of international schools. So we were talking only to teachers. We weren't permitted to talk to parents or students, but we've definitely done that kind of thing before.
Yeah, I work at Shanghai American School, and we had Sam Wong did it the last time there was an election, and she's not here anymore. So I want to make sure that all of our Shanghai American School teachers get the message before they can.
We miss Sam. I know. Yes, that's great. So Kim Wong is just put her WeChat, her personal WeChat, into the chat window. So you can connect with her directly. And right. A Martin, you're in Beijing. You wanna say something? Could you introduce yourself? I'm not sure if I know who you are. No? A Martin says, I work in a group of a couple hundred American expats in Beijing. Can I share this info with my colleagues? You definitely can.
Yeah, sorry, I have a sleeping baby in here.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah, no,
totally.
Oh, no,
that's okay. I can't really speak much. But I work with, there's a lot of us that just reload to Beijing.
Okay.
To try to like set up an event or something with my team just to make sure that people are really taking advantage of knowing when their deadlines are and all of that. So,
okay. Can you grab Kim's WeChat too and talk to her about that? She's got, I know Eileen has done some stuff in Beijing. Oh, Eileen Walsh is on too. Anyway, but please do connect either with those official WeChat accounts if you're not already. What's your first name?
Anna.
Anna, okay. Are you in the Democrats Abroad groups already or?
I am, but I haven't done it since I've moved to China. I did it when I was in the UAE. I have done it for this round of stuff.
Do you know what's funny? Eileen Walsh is also in Beijing and she came from the UAE too, I believe, which is awesome. Okay, anyway, so that's a side note. Okay. Uh-oh, Greg's got another thing. Yeah?
Sorry, of course I do, right. I don't know, it. Maybe I'm mistaken, but do you have a point person in China for our Zoom initiative?
Oh, I can't remember. Kimberly, do you?
I feel like
Eileen. It's Eileen. Eileen Walsh, yeah.
Okay, Eileen. Okay, I just wanted to make sure about that. Because I don't see all of the forms. They go to Kendra, so great. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Okay. All right, so let's end it here. Everybody's got all kinds of contact information. Yes. And if you need more contact information, please speak now. All right. Thank you guys so much. I'll post this on the, I'll post this recording on the wiki too at that link. Take care, everybody. I'm going now. Bye.